glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 5th, 2019. It's a banner day, and I'll explain that in just a second. Two quick announcements in a minute or less. You've heard us ask for your prayers. Well, tonight the children, the Great News Radio Children's Choir, will be singing at In His Hands Orphans Outreach. Mm. It's a special gathering that's happening tonight at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy, and it's neat how Chris Sender and the group has asked the Great News Radio Children's Choir to participate in this outreach. It's a fundraiser for the In His Hands Orphans Outreach, and so they'll be praying a couple different times at the dinner tonight, so please keep them in your prayers. And you've heard all about Huntley Brown coming to town. That's this Sunday night, 7 o'clock. He'll be singing alongside the singing men of GNN. But wait, there's more. Also, at 10:30, he's going to be delivering a message and leading the worship service that Sunday morning at the First United Methodist Church in Urbana, right next to Lincoln Square here. So if you don't have a church family or you want to join the Singing Men concert in the evening with Huntley Brown, that will be at 7 p.m. You can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org. Woo! In a minute or less, I made it. Jason, welcome back.
Woo! It's amazing. When you said you were going to do it, I thought, I don't know if you can do that, but we'll see.
Yeah, it usually doesn't happen, but I'm being real intentional, and we'll maybe discuss this. Now, can I derail you if you haven't even started something and I read a passage and get on a good tangent?
No.
I don't think that's a derailment. But
You're Christian, so what you could do as a Christian is you could just say, I felt led by the Spirit, and then I can't argue with it.
I believe the Lord has led me. Then what are you
right.
going to say?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I do feel this, and it's something that Holly and I have talked a little about, and it was a passage that I came across some months ago and then recently in my devotional time. But I want to share it because I think that maybe some of our listeners will identify with this passage. They'll identify with the emphasis and what I think the Lord would have us all learn or glean from it. There's probably many points of application, and I want to kind of throw it at you because I think you'll have some thoughts being a pastor, you know, wrestling with this same topic that many of us wrestle with. But this is out of Luke chapter 10, and it's verses 39 through basically about 43. The heading is At the Home of Martha and Mary. And so here's how the text reads, and then I want to get your thoughts on it because I think so many of us are operating as Marthas, and I can testify to that. I'm very busy doing great things, the Lord's work, and yet I long and am longing for more Mary times where I just sit at the Lord's feet. And so I think this passage is really neat how many of us can identify with it. And maybe are feeling like me, we long to be more like Mary at times. So here's the passage out of Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. And so when I read this recently and reread it even this morning, and I've shared this with Holly, I said, Holly, you know what? I think we're turning into Marthas. We're doing many ministry things. We're busy about, you know, you could say the Lord's work and about many other affairs and things you have to deal with in life. But I said, you know, I feel like we're getting away from being that Mary that just sits and lingers and relishes in that time with the Lord, and we're not doing anything. We're not maybe necessarily accomplishing any great work for the Lord, and yet I know better. I know that time that you spend with the Lord is as rich as they come. That's really when God does maybe the most work. So any thoughts or impressions on this passage?
Yeah, too many.
Of 21 minutes, that's all we have left?
Too many. I mean, really, it's a great passage, and it's one that is, I don't think you could ever say a passage is over-preached, but this passage is preached a lot, but oftentimes is preached, unfortunately, with not the best of interpretations. It's kind of one where it's preached just, you know, 5 feet deep, when this passage is really incredibly deep, and even deeper when you get into the context of it. But I would preface this by saying that at the beginning of the year, I was just tired and worn out, and I took a sabbatical. I just said, I need to just take some time. Because it is possible, and I'm very transparent about this in many places with people, but it is very possible to be the guy who's leading the church, to be the pastor of the church, and because you're leading and guiding the church, you actually find yourself spending a smaller amount of time with the Lord than you really should be. You know, you find yourself caring for the spiritual lives of so many that you marginalize the spiritual life in your own heart.
Right.
And you know what? I think that I'm not saying that you should do that, but I think that you can probably do it for a season and survive because the Lord is good and His mercy endures. But I think that the longer you do that, the longer that you attempt to quench the Spirit rather than to live within His strength and His power, His leading and His guiding, the more trouble you're going to find yourself in. And not necessarily sinful trouble. Nothing that led me to my sabbatical was particularly sinful. It was being incredibly tired and having a lack of focus. And then out of that, even having a lack of excitement for the things that should really excite me. Mm-hmm. And all of that because, you know, you don't go to the well and to drink. And if you don't go to the well and drink, at some point you find yourself thirsty. And what was it that I heard, maybe it was last month or the month before, is that when you realize that you're actually thirsty, you're dehydrated.
You've already crossed over.
You've already crossed over because that's not the being thirsty is not the sign that you need water. That was earlier.
Yeah, that's the same with like diets. When you start feeling you're full, you've already crossed that threshold. Yeah. You should have stopped eating sooner.
Totally.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So what's interesting is, so this passage says, now they went on their way and Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. So we have this woman who we see as a faithful person, right? That's who she is. That's who she's immediately on the surface. She invites Jesus into her home. So immediately on the surface, you say, Martha, she's faithful. She invited Jesus into her home. Maybe you've invited Jesus into your heart. And on the surface, it looks like you are faith-filled and faithful. And she has a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. And then it says, but. And you always got to say the but is there for a reason. That's the corrective. I always say this, that when you read the Bible and there's a but and it's followed by something that's not quite positive, it's sort of negative, that generally probably applies to you and I. That's generally there for us. The thing that comes before that, that's what we want to be. You know, that's what we want to be. You know, David went forward to fight Goliath, but the Israelites stayed back and cried, oh, we're the Israelites. We're not David, but we'd love to be David. We'd love to be the one who goes forward and slings the stone. But we sometimes lack that degree of faithfulness and I think you said it earlier, intentionality. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, who was she serving? She was serving Jesus. That's who she was serving. There's nobody else in the house. It's Martha, it's Jesus, it's Mary. So naturally, if you ask the text a question, if you say, who was Martha serving? She was serving Jesus. So you go, wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care? Isn't this interesting? Do you not care? Do you not care? This right here is, in my opinion, the first chink in Martha's armor. Now, the first one actually comes a little bit earlier when we see her rustling about, but we think she's doing that because she's serving the Lord. So really, as a surface view of this text, by the time you get up to this part right here, you're thinking, Martha's the faithful one. Mary, yeah, it's great she's sitting at Jesus' feet, but you know what? Get up and do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then it says, then Martha plays her hand, right? She says, Lord, do you not care? If you ask the Lord if he cares or if he doesn't care, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of who the Lord is. We know the Lord cares. The Bible tells us to cast our cares upon him because he cares, because he loves. He loved with a great love. He cared so much that he sent his only begotten son, John 3:16, that we learn at a young age in Sunday school. And so when Martha says, "Do you not care?" she immediately shows that she has a misunderstanding of what it means to be in the presence of God.
You know, as soon as you read that, I thought of the parable of the prodigal son and the older son. You didn't care. You know, I stayed here. I did. You know, it was almost.
This is very much like that. This is very much like that because Jesus is calling out the same kind of heart. And the parable of the prodigal son just is a picture or a story that is supposed to show us a truth. This is an actual physical interaction that's going to show us a truth. And she says, "Lord, do you not care?" A fundamental misunderstanding of who God is. God does care. "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" "Tell her then to help me." Listen, there are a lot of things the Bible says that you're supposed to go to God and to ask for and to petition for and to... even at times, to call upon him to do, but this would not be one way. This is the wrong way to come before God. This is like when you go like, throw down some lightning bolts on him.
Yeah.
And that's why the Lord answers. Because, see, the problem that Martha has is that Martha is not seeing the Lord clearly. And that's why context is king. Because if you go back earlier in the chapter here, Jesus tells a parable and he gives some different teachings. And it says here, the heading of beginning in verse 22 of chapter 10, it says, "Jesus rejoices in the Father's will." And he says this in verse 23. He says, turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see." What would they see? The Lord. Blessed are the eyes that see the Lord. Now, not just that see the Lord, but that see the Lord clearly. That see who he is, for what he is, and what he does, and how he does it. Then we have the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we all know. And the parable of the Good Samaritan ends in verse 36 when it says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell amongst the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to them, "You go and do likewise." He said, which one in this story do you see as being most like you believe God to be like? Well, the one who showed mercy. And he says, blessed are you. You saw what you needed to see. The God who is rich in mercy, who loves with a great love, has come to save you. The passages that precede Mary and Martha are all about seeing the Lord for who he is. And sure, Martha invites Jesus into her house. He invites Jesus into her life. But she's still got a lot of Martha going on because she's not willing to see the Lord clearly for the fullness of who he is and appreciate the ability that she has to sit in his presence. Isn't it interesting that, you know, this passage could take you to so many places in the Bible, but when Jesus heals the demon-possessed man in the region of the Gerasenes, what does it say when he accepts the Lord, when he sees clearly who the Lord is, when the demons are drawn out from his body? It says, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. In his right mind, because right thinking can do nothing other than get on your knees and sit before the Lord in his presence. And so, of course, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. By the way, if he says your name twice, it's a problem.
Yeah.
There's been many times where he said my name three times, and it could have been the end of me. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Jesus says in Matthew chapter, 5 or 6, be anxious about nothing. He says, see the birds of the air? They neither toil. The lilies, consider them. The Lord knows what you need. Martha, you're anxious about things that you have no control over. And you're troubled about things that are causing you more trouble than they really should be able to.
And I think also her priorities, and again, this is where this text speaks to me. The Lord is the priority right now, not cleaning the house, not doing this, not doing that. You know, sometimes we do that too. Hey, we're just having friends over. Well, sometimes men maybe do it at a fault. Hey, we're just having friends over. Get the pizzas. Yeah. Don't worry about anything. It's like, well, you know, it would be nice to tidy up some, but here the Lord is in the house. The Lord is in the house.
Well, he says later on, he says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. He doesn't say that Mary, the whole piece, the whole pie. He says a good portion. Because there should be a portion of your life that is going and serving. And there should be a portion of your life which is coming and sitting at the feet of the Lord. The problem is that we think that somehow we can impress the Lord by all the things that we do, that we spend far more time going than we do coming and sitting. And even when Jesus sends out the disciples, they come back. In fact, that's earlier in the passage, right? Jesus sends out the 72. That kicks off chapter 10. And then verse 17 is the return of the 72. When they return, what happens? He talks to them about what happens. We need to go to the Lord and sit down, because you know what? Sometimes in the midst of being out in the world and on mission and wherever it is that God sends us to be and whatever it is he sends us to do, we get mucked up. We get some stinking thinking. We get some misapplication. Our ideas get mixed up. And we need to come back and sit at his feet and be corrected. Not only that, but we need to hear his spirit speak to us and help us.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened during my sabbatical that was really interesting is while I was on my sabbatical, I did this course. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and it was just trying to understand maybe where I'd not gotten. In fact, it was not even on my radar. It was an interesting kind of a story, because I was walking the dog in December, and I heard that the author of this thing on a podcast, and I came in the house and I told Tasha, I said, I just heard this guy. He's a real idiot.
Yeah.
I just think this guy is out to lunch. I mean, the things he was talking about is just, it's just off base. And in January, I'm reading the book and watching the DVDs.
Yeah.
And in the middle of the study, you know, I'm watching the DVD, and in the middle of the study, he says, "What if it is possible that you are actually doing more than the Lord has asked you to do? Because you somehow think that you can impress the God of the universe." And I'll tell you what, I stopped and I wept. Because I had tried to do things, like any child does, that's why we call us children, to impress my father. And I ended up doing more than what he wanted me to do, and in such a way that it caused me to not do the thing that he wanted me to do the most, which was to be with him. And this is a God problem that funnels itself down into every other area of our life. Because how many of you out there listening right now, either you or your kids or your grandkids, are running from here to there to here to there and spending no time together? Fathers spend less time with their children now than they ever have, but they spend more time taking their kids to all kinds of things. And what a kid needs more than anything is to spend time with his father, her father. And you could take that and you apply it right into this text. Because what happens is we are running from here to there to here to there, and we're not spending any time with our Father. And I think some of the reason why we're not doing it is because it's going to be hard what he says. This is a hard word for Martha right here. This is a hard word because Martha is trying to please Jesus and trying to do everything that she knows to do that's right. She's trying for all good intentions to serve the Lord. And he says, what you did, it's not a good portion. It's not reaping what you think it is. You're sowing into something that is not going to give you the fruit that you believe it's going to give you. And so many of us are doing that. And to sit at the Lord's feet like Mary, listen, there's probably people out there who, if you sit at the Lord's feet like Mary, they're going to tell you you're wasting time. They're going to tell you you're trying to get out and do something. They're going to tell you that you're lazy. I've had folks and where, you know, what were you doing? I just spent about an hour, you know, just praying. Did you take a nap?
Yeah.
You know. I mean, it's just a natural inclination of people, because when we don't see something being produced, right, we think that nothing's being produced. And spiritual things cannot be counted.
Yeah, we want to measure results and want to see results.
Man, sit down at a board meeting and go like, well, you know what, I just want to let everybody know I prayed for 4 hours every single day, and I sought the Lord in the scripture for another 2 hours and all this, and see how long you last. They're going to be like, you know what, we need to get somebody in this radio ministry who works.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, but what's interesting is at the tail end of my sabbatical, I was in the shower, and when I go in the shower, I always put on something to listen to, because if not, then I start singing in the shower, and that's no good. Dog starts to howl. But I was listening to a Francis Chan was talking, and it was at a recent thing where he was addressing the house church movement that he has, and he was talking about when he was the pastor of the church. That was a sizable church, I think 15,000 people or something like that, big church. But he said that when he would ask the people on his staff, how long did you pray today? And people would say, well, you know, I was so busy, I didn't have a chance to pray. And he says, listen, we're going to have to write you up for that. Because I don't want anybody on my staff who doesn't pray for at least an hour a day. If you don't want to pray, then you need to go find another job. Because part of the job description here is to pray.
Wow.
And what was interesting is I came back from my sabbatical, and maybe this is, I don't know, this could be oversharing, who knows. But I came back from my sabbatical, and with the help of my elders, we rewrote my job description so that my job description highlighted my integrity and fidelity to being the man of God before being the leader of the church. Right. Because I can't be the leader of the church if I don't, if I'm not sitting at the feet of the Lord. And we also wrote in provisions where they ask me about that. They want to know what my spiritual care plan is, not only for myself, but for my wife and for my family, because they care about that.
Right.
And that's what we should do. Listen, I love that Jesus tells Martha that she's got a problem. But I also wonder, where were the people who also may have said, Martha, hey, sister, slow down. Slow down. You might be doing some things that the Lord didn't ask you to do, and He really wants you to sit at His feet. And listen, I love this. It says, He says, Mary has chosen the good portion. I think when it comes to the Lord, all of us would want to choose the good portion. And He says, and it will not be taken away from her. Why? Because what we reap, what we sow into the Lord, we will reap, and what we reap cannot be taken from us. I love Romans 8, chapter 8, and verse 14. When we sit at the Lord's feet, what do? We talk with and we listen to the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8, 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When we sit at the feet of the Lord, we are reminded by the Spirit of God that we are the sons of God. One of the greatest things that I think might be happening here with Mary is Mary is being reminded that she is a daughter of the King. And that when I sit at the feet of Jesus, I'm reminded that I am a son, that I'm a son in this kingdom that never ends, that I'm a son of God by adoption, that I get to call Him Abba, Father. And one of the things I think the devil would love to do is to have us be distracted from that great truth by having us run to and fro and actually making us believe that somehow we're gaining some level of importance by doing that.
Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. We highly recommend you read that today. See how the Lord would speak to you.
We recommend the Bible.
Yes. and keeping that balance, because you can turn into somebody that just sits at the Lord's feet, which is wonderful, and not do anything. And I like that your rendering had a portion. There's that sense that there is a balance there, or maybe there's a season to do both. So, yes, be about the Lord's work, but also be about the Lord.
Yeah, James would tell us that it is faith and works, that naturally our spending time with the Lord would drive us into places where that time would be well used through our empathy, through our love, through all those things. And that only comes from being with the Lord. The less time I'm with the Lord, the more time when I go out and serve, you get me.
Mary has chosen the better. May we all make that same choice at some point throughout this day, this week, this month, this year. Thank you, God, for pursuing us even when we have chosen to maybe run away from you.
Isn't that true?
We serve a great God. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.